That's, didn't you ask that Dan make a comment?
Yeah.
Okay. So okay. Dan is going to make a comment.
All right. I'm going to try to do this with sensitivity towards people's privacy rights. But as everyone knows, there was really a very unfortunate incident that occurred at KPFA approximately 2.5 weeks ago. What happened was this. There was a person who had been involved with the station for a number of years, but who in recent years, as far as anyone knows, and was no information to the contrary, had not had an active role either as a volunteer, paid staff, or unpaid staff, but who earlier this year had become involved in kind of making it a practice to make the station a place where she would come, often with two small children, to conduct personal activities. And by personal activities, she used computers, and telephones at KPFA in order to conduct personal business. And why she did that, I have no idea, whether it's an issue of poverty or other issue. I do not know why. And she would bring her children to the station, and there were frequent complaints from staff at the station that her children would be unsupervised and would, you know, small children would run around, go into studios and offices and kind of act like small children do in a place of business where they're not being supervised. And she was asked on several occasions to not frequent the station, to conduct personal activities, and in addition to supervise her children. And it got to the point where on one occasion there was a very kind of negative, slightly physical interaction between her and the business officer at KPFA. And as a result of that, she was asked not to return to the station unless she had business for doing so. That's the background. The incident that occurred was that she did come to the station. She, without her children on this occasion, was using the telephone, and the same person asked her to leave. And there was verbal interaction of an unpleasant nature between the two of them, and she still declined to leave. The business manager then consulted with the foundation's HR director, and following that consultation, called the Berkeley police. Two Berkeley police officers came to the station. They were in the room where this individual was on the telephone, and what happened is then subject to argument because we have no eyewitnesses of Pacifica staff who were there. She alleged that the police were rough with her. One of the police officers claims that she bit him. And as a result of that, again, we can't verify that. That's what the police say. The police called for reinforcements, and approximately six officers responded to the station where they basically subdued this person and arrested her. She was originally arrested on a felony charge. That was reduced to several misdemeanor charges. I can tell you that on behalf of the network, we have indicated that we do not, on the part of Pacifica, want to be involved in pressing any charges for her, for trespassing or anything else. I have made public statements deploring the police activity as being clearly excessive and not what one would expect from the Berkeley Police Department. I guess that's probably a naive thought, but we definitely said that we wouldn't expect the Berkeley Police Department to react with the level of force that they reacted with. And frankly, I've also assisted her in obtaining legal counsel so that she could be represented both in any criminal proceedings that are ongoing against her or any civil action that she may wish to take. As people probably know...
No, against the police.
No, not against us. I don't believe that there is any civil action to be taken against Pacifica, but I suppose we'll see, since there are often civil actions that are taken that we don't believe should exist. But in any case, you know, this issue has taken on a life of its own at the station. People who are particularly associated with the Flashpoints program, who, in my opinion, seize upon any opportunity to attack the national organization as well as local management, have made this an issue on the airwaves with great frequency. They have misstated facts. We've heard from Dennis Bernstein that there were 16 police officers, that Ms. Foster was pregnant, and that they broke her arm, none of which are true. And yet these statements are continue to be made on our airwaves by our employees, creating a big problem for station management and foundation management.
I have Doc, Margaret, and Kathy. AC, did you want to talk to this?
Yeah.
Okay, then I'm going to put AC first. Go.
Okay,
Your preference. Okay, go ahead.
Me or Doc? Me or AC?
Doc, your
thank
first
you.
Thing. I'm sorry.
I requested that this be put on the agenda for our discussion in the next PNB meeting. That has not occurred. I am going to request again that this be placed on the agenda because I am not satisfied with the answers that I've gotten. I am very disturbed that we would call the police on anybody because we asked them to leave because they were using the telephone. Short of bringing out a machine gun, I don't see us calling the police on people. That is very disturbing to me. And as a member of the PNB, I also feel a very big responsibility in getting clarity because I'm not clear on this. And I am really uncomfortable with where it is right now. I want to have a discussion with the parties present that have something to do with this because I want the answers and I want all the people in the room at the same time. Because what generally happens is you get one story over here and one story over there. I would like to have all the parties that are involved present so that questions can be asked by this body as to what happened and the procedure and process that we have for if somebody's banned from the station, asked not to be there, how do we notify them? How are the people in the station notified so that everybody is on the same page? She could have been killed easily because that's what the police do to black folks. And I, you know, it happens every day. And we're civil rights folks. If we're the ones that are going to be calling the police over a phone call that somebody felt like she shouldn't have, I don't care if she used the copy machine, I'll buy paper. That kind of stuff doesn't rate the level that this went to. And if her kids were there, we're community radio. Kids are in and out of KPFT all the time. You know, that's the kind of stuff that we get caught up in corporate America kind of stuff. And that's very disturbing to me for community radio. I admit there has to be an environment where everybody is safe, but we have to be a different kind of environment. And I say this all the time. We do not have a welcoming environment. At KPFT, people come in all the time. They don't feel welcome there if they're of a different persuasion. And this is very, very disturbing. You know, I have guests come to KPFT, and they say all the time, it is not a friendly place. That's not how we're supposed to be. And we have to change that culture. And I don't see it happening by calling the police because somebody was on the phone. We told them to leave, and they didn't. That is a very serious problem for me. And I want some answers that make sense. And I want to be clear as to exactly what happened and what our process is for dealing with this.
Margaret, Kathy, AC.
Yeah, I'd like to associate myself with Doc's remarks. I did write something to the HR director and sent on to appropriate people who had reached out, you know, to get an opinion and get some input, you know, on this. And I think that it really speaks to the need for uniform guidelines throughout the network, because we've had people banned at KPFK. And it was very clear. The LSB was informed. The person was informed in writing. It was, you know, people at the station knew about it. So I think there are a number of issues involved, and that is, what is the proper procedure, and on what basis is someone banned? And if they are banned, how then does the unbanning happen? Because, you know, it could also go on and on and on. The other thing, and I think that had that happened in this instance, it would have avoided the situation. And I agree with Evelyn, unless I may not go as far as just the machine gun, but if somebody is being threatening somebody physically, and, you know, people feel that they really are in physical danger, the staff, of course, management, they have got to protect the staff, you know, and I'm sure management at the time, you know, I don't want to put anything bad on anybody in terms of what they were doing, acted thinking that they were protecting the staff. But I really think it shows a kind of insensitivity. In the letter that I wrote, I said that as a black person, every time I see the police, even if I, on occasion when I've had to call the police, I get nervous. My blood pressure goes up. My stomach is all in knot, you know, because we know what that is about. And, you know, if someone was aware of this sensitivity, I call it part of the emotional work of being black, just part of the work, black or brown, we might have given second thought to calling the police in this kind of situation. So I frankly think that it was mishandled by management at the station. I think rather, you know, I think they should come clean about it and say, look, we screwed up. Okay, rather than making all these kind of justifications for it, but we screwed up with good intentions, because our intention was to protect staff, but somebody making a phone call, they could have waited it out and she probably would have left. You know what I'm saying? So I just think that part of what is exacerbating the situation, and I'm not for the people who are trying to abuse it for their own careerist, you know, or whatever, self-promotion, okay, jumping on the opportunity. But I think that if we're clean and straight up about it, that that would really help to quell a lot of the anger and sentiment about it, and also to work to ensure that a policies and procedures are put in place so this cannot happen, because Evelyn is right. She could have been killed. She could have been hurt. And it would have been on all of our conscience, all of our hands would have been involved in that. And I'm really worried about the image now in black and brown communities that Pacifica has. You know, that we're the kind of place that are going to call a police in this. You know, it's not a small matter. And a lot of people think race is dead. You know, every time you mention race, oh, you're playing the race card. Don't say nothing about it. Got to keep your mouth shut. But excuse me, it is alive and well out there in the world. It is alive and well in Pacifica. People have got to be sensitive about it and, you know, just, you know, figure these things out. Because I think if the sensitivity was there, nobody would have called the police. Thank you.
I think you're right. If the sensitivity was there, nobody would have called the police. But the truth is the sensitivity is not there. And that's true on a lot of levels. On the first level, you know, this assertion, well, she didn't supervise her children. You know, in African cultures, it takes a village, and we care for each other's children. I've had many children at WBAI. In fact, many of us maintain toy boxes so that when the kids come, they can have books and toys to play with. And I think that it's important to consider that people, volunteers who come in with children or staff who comes in with children, that we have to be as responsible for them as we would be, you know, if they were our own. So I think that's the first thing that should have been done. And as far as the violence, I think that we do need to be able to speak to issues that we have. I know as staff, I have felt threatened at various times at the office. And I would want that to be taken seriously and not put off, and allows things to escalate until something drastic happens. And third, I don't want to further compound this situation by somehow saying, whatever we might think of Flashpoints and their reporting of this incident, they're a news program. They have every right to report an incident such as this. And I do not want to see some kind of censorship of our staff, because if that had not been reported, however sensational it may have been, people might not have known that this was even had even gone on. So I do not endorse, you know, penalizing producers because they choose to report something with the information they have at the time. I heard that report, and it was the brother of Nadja who came on and told the story as he understood it to be. And there were further developments, yes, but it's not appropriate to gag our producers for reporting on such incidents.
Folks, I've just gotten the word from Jim Brown that we have to vacate the room. We can continue this discussion on Sunday's meeting, but we have to clear out, clean up after ourselves. And the stack, and I will retain the stack and figure out where to put this on the agenda, was AC, Jamie, Gray, Sophia, and Joe.
Okay, and
Ambrose. Ambrose. Why am I calling on Ambrose?
Ambrose.
Oh, Ambrose. I know why. Do you have a motion to adjourn? Thank you, Ambrose. That's what you're a minor thing that you're known for. Seconded.
It was nice seeing everybody. A few of us are going to run for the airport now. I don't know how many people are running for the airport, but I can't help clean up because we have to go to the airport or we're going to miss our plane. Sorry. Bye.
Don't
travel
leave any
safe.
Material in the room.